You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Post-Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel and podcast network for another college basketball show. She is Abby Schnabel. I am Noah Hiles. Abby, we got a lot to get into for college basketball talk. March Madness right around the corner. We got one day preventing us from March. What the heck is that? It only happens, you know, once every 4 years. But, I mean, it's almost March. It's March adjacent, you should say. Happy Leap Day. But before we get into the March Madness discussions, the all college basketball talk, we got to talk about our show's presenting sponsor, which is Mike's Beer Bar. Whether if you're in town for a Steelers, Pirates, or Pitt game, Mike's Beer Bar is right across the street from PNC Park and has the best selection of beer in town, as well as amazing food options. They have over 20 TVs, and you can catch all of your NFL, college basketball, Pirates, Penguins, Riverhounds, and Premier League action right at Mike's. Come on in and try one of their 500 different available beers, 300 of them being local beers, as well as 80 different local craft beers available on tap. You can also get a flight to try out every combination you can dream of, and you won't ever run out of combinations, because I've tried and I've failed every time. There's just so many to try. Try their steak on a stone on the note of trying things. It's an awesome meal that you can cook some steak with a heated stone right in front of you as you enjoy a night out in Pittsburgh. Come on down to Mike's Beer Bar and get your sports fix at Pittsburgh's best bar. Abby, another week, another, you know, step closer to the whole picture becoming a little bit clearer. Pitt, as we discussed Tuesday evening, dropped a very pivotal game in Clemson, South Carolina. Their bubble status is on life support, I would say.
So, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. So to get things started with our question, I'll just ask you, is there a way Pitt gets an at-large bid to the 2024 NCAA tournament? Do they have to win the ACC tournament to get in, or is there still another route for this team to get in without winning its league tournament?
I don't think they have to win the ACC tournament, but I do think that they have to make the championship game and they have to win out in the regular season. And we've seen that they aren't the best at winning games that they're necessarily supposed to this year. Yeah. So the way I see it is there's really one path. Win out. You've got games against Boston College on Saturday, Florida State next week, and NC State to close out the regular season. And as the bracket stands right now, you know, they're getting that first round bye, which is important, which is helpful because it's really difficult to make it to the championship game if you don't. Right. You know, win in the first round, then as the bracket stands right now, you play Duke in the quarters. That's huge. Show that you can beat them on a neutral site just like you beat them at home. And then you're in the semis, which is looking like a Virginia-Clemson matchup. A Virginia team you beat, a Clemson team they haven't. But I think if they can beat Duke and then a Virginia-Clemson team, I think that's a good look for them. And I think there's a chance they could squeak by as an at-large. I do think it depends on how the rest of the field does. Wake Forest losing to Notre Dame the other day helps a bunch, but also you need Wake Forest to not really get any more marquee wins. But that's the thing, is they didn't take care of the games that they needed to get another marquee win or two. And so they really need to show out. And that's hard to do when you're playing back-to-back games like you are in the ACC tournament, when everyone's kind of trying to fight for that title.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think six more wins puts them in a very good spot with 19, with where are they at now? 19 overall wins, 18 overall wins. So yeah, just getting to that 24 win total, it'd be hard to turn them away, but that's a big if, right? I mean, you got to finish out the regular season perfect, which you know, there's only three more games to go, and you have to like how they responded to the loss at Wake Forest by coming home Saturday and blowing out a Virginia Tech team. But how's this team going to respond after the Clemson loss? Because that's a different type of loss where now it's looking like their season has a much different, you know, path to get to where they were hoping to go. So I think just that challenge alone is tough. And also, I mean, there's some questions with the ACC tournament. How much value will those ACC tournament wins carry? And you're also not guaranteed to get the best draws. You know, let's just say hypothetically, sure, you're guaranteed probably one quad one opportunity. Like you said, as the bracket currently sits, their second matchup, if Pitt can win in its first matchup, which will be against, you know, a team seeded 10th or worst in the ACC. So that's not going to add anything to their resume, but just another, you know, win over a subpar opponent. It will get a shot at Duke or, you know, maybe a Clemson or a Wake Forest, depending on what the 2-4 seeding ends up being. So you'll get that opportunity, but you're not guaranteed anything great after that either. Who's to say that Virginia or Clemson or North Carolina, depending where the bracket falls, doesn't get upset? And if they do, will wins over, you know, will a 3-win package in the ACC tournament, and it would include like a win over Duke and then your other two wins being like an NC State and a Virginia Tech, is that going to be enough? I don't know if it is. I would like to think that 24 wins regardless gets it done, right? But you're looking here, I mean, they have two quad three games and a quad two game remaining in their regular season schedule. You go down to DC, you're really only guaranteed one more quad one opportunity throughout your entire route to the championship game. Mm-hmm. And that's got to be tough. And you also got to think, Pitt's one of many teams playing for something to prove in the ACC tournament this year. I think that there are three teams who are very safe right now, those three being Clemson, Duke, and North Carolina. But Virginia doesn't feel safe anymore. Wake Forest doesn't feel safe anymore. I mean, Syracuse has got to be begging for some kind of attention because they have the same record as Pitt. They beat Pitt twice, and they're further away from the bubble conversation. Then you have a whole bunch of other teams, the NC State, the, you know, pick another school, Virginia Tech, whoever, who want to be the Cinderella team that go on that run and win the league and steal a bid. So it's not like Pitt's the only team coming in hungry to this event that's coming up in a couple of weeks. A lot of teams have a lot to gain and a lot to lose depending on their showing. So I would say, yeah, you need to approach it with the mentality that we have to win out. We have to win every game between now and March 16th to have a shot. And you know, you can get lucky if you get to the ACC tournament and other bubble teams don't perform well in their respective league events, and you do, but your best bet is you have to approach it. You got to win your next seven games.
And I think you also can't get blown out in the championship game.
Right.
I just, you know, you're likely playing a tough team no matter what in that championship game, and you really just can't get blown out. So it's not just as simple. I mean, not that winning six games in a row is simple by any stretch of the imagination, but you can't just rest on your laurels once you get to the championship game. You have to put up a good showing. You can't get blown out like you did against Wake Forest earlier. That's tough. That's tough to stay that consistent for that long, especially for a team we haven't seen that from in a while.
Yeah. I mean, winning three games in 3 days is not easy for any team. It's why those double byes mean so much in these conference tournaments, because you get to sit around and recuperate while the rest of the teams get like a 2-day, 3-day rest period between the regular season and this event and are go, go, go. You get to sit around and scout whoever it is you're going to be potentially playing, and you already have game plans from previous matchups, and you're at a severe disadvantage when you're not one of those four teams with the double bye. So, yeah, I think the best plan for Pitt is to, yes, just plan on winning the whole damn thing. That's what you should be viewing to do. Can you get in without making it all the way to the, you know, first place spot on the podium, sure, but it's almost as difficult as a journey, so it's not going to be easy. I want to go over to our highlight part of the show now, Abby. A big storyline. There were two big storylines in the ACC. One was a court storming incident that resulted in what looked like a needed amputation for 48 hours. And by the miracle of Christ, he was able to play a basketball game the next time his team was scheduled to play a basketball game. So we'll skip the court storming rhetoric for the time being. And we'll talk about Clemson coaches, Brad Brunell's comments about the net rankings and scheduling. He basically pointed out saying that the Big 12 has gamed the system where they go about their non-conference scheduling in a way that allows them to play very efficient basketball and kind of, you know, trick the metrics into thinking potentially that they're better teams than what they would allow to actually be. And he pointed out some numbers. He came with stats. He said, you know, the Big 12 has six teams in the top 50 of the net with a non-conference schedule of 250 or higher, non-conference strength of schedule, where the ACC has none. So that's an interesting thing to point out. And obviously there's been a lot of discussion how the ACC gets undervalued compared to the Big Ten, the SEC, the Big East, the Big 12, and how is the Big 12 actually really this good? Should there be other teams in? I guess when we're talking about this, Abby, when we're highlighting this, my mentality is, why, if it's so obvious, then why isn't everyone doing this?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Right?
Yeah, it's right. And it's also the idea of don't hate the player, hate the game.
Right.
Like, why are you getting mad about Big 12 doing this when you could easily do it too? I mean, I know you're planning on talking about, you know, we saw Pitt try and do this. But,
yes,
you know, when the RPI was replaced in the offseason of 2018, it changed things because the RPI didn't look at statistical categories. It looked at strength of schedule. It looked at wins and losses to dumb it down, really. And you know, the net was brought in to look at those margins, those offensive efficiencies, quad one versus quad two. And in a way, it was supposed to make things a little bit more fair. But it was never truly going to be fair because, I mean, let's be real, the power fives, power sixes of the world are greatly advantaged in that they are going to just inherently get more quad one games, which I think is something that the Big 12 is benefiting from. You know, almost every single game in the Big 12 is a quad one game, which isn't the case in the ACC. And a lot of that has to do with their non-conference and beating these teams the way they did in the offseason. But like, for Clemson's coach, it's like, if you want to be a higher net team, why aren't you doing it too? And also, I don't necessarily think, like, I feel like a lot of ACC coaches would rather just play good games. Which is a little bit more of a, you know, to an extent, I'll say, which is more of an approach like a mid-major. I mean, I covered Duquesne. Duquesne's coach Keith Dambrot talks a lot about how he tried to make his non-conference fairly difficult. And, you know, he has to do that because he's not going to get many quad one games in the regular season. And so I don't know. It's just take advantage of your opportunities. Win the games you're supposed to win. You'll have a higher net. And then you're playing more quad ones, and then you are a quad one. And I don't know. It's like I said at the beginning, hate the game, not the player.
Yeah. I mean, I just pulled up two random ACC teams schedules, right? So you look, I mean, you could say Boston College maybe tried to take the Big 12 route. Okay. Well, in their second game of the year, they only beat the Citadel by 4 points. They played an Atlantic 10 team on their home court, and they only won by 7 points there against Richmond. They win by 9 against an Ivy League team, against Harvard. They play another Atlantic 10 team, and they lose on a neutral court. They lose to Colorado State on a neutral court, who's not a bad team, but that's what I'm saying. And then you look at Virginia Tech, who took the opposite route. There's two approaches, right? You can have the weak non-conference schedule, which the Big 12 is being accused of doing, or you could go the Virginia Tech route, which is load your non-conference with a lot of tough games. You see, they played South Carolina in the beginning of the season. They played Iowa State in the beginning of the season, Florida Atlantic, Auburn, and they lose these games. So what it really comes down to more than anything is, regardless of who's on your schedule, win. If they're a bad team, beat them by a lot because they're a bad team. And if they're a good team, don't lose. And that's the problem. You know, the ACC can throw out whatever data it has or whatever, but in reality, it's the teams that tried to take that, like you pointed out, TCU is one of the teams he brought up. Iowa State, another one of the teams he brought up. Those teams don't have those stumbles on their schedule where they didn't lose to a Citadel or, you know, some terrible mid-major school, or they didn't have a ton of close calls. Like he said, part of this equation is blowing them out. Pitt did that, but Pitt lost to Power 5 teams it needed to win. In those few Power 5 non-conference games you play, you need to win at least one of them, and they didn't. They beat West Virginia on the road, but that was really the worst of all what they had to work with. And when you have that limited sample size, you can't go with a loss to Florida. You can't go with a loss on your home court to Missouri, which is like their worst loss of the year. You've got to capitalize when you try to take the route. Like you said, Abby, Pitt tried to do this, and it did for the most part. If you look where Pitt was in KenPom and net in the beginning of the season, despite having one of the weaker strength of schedules in the country, it was very high up, even in late December, and net and KenPom, probably way higher than where it should have been, because it beat the doors off of, you know, a Florida Gulf Coast, a Jacksonville. And that's the route you got to go. But you have to play some Power 5 teams. And when you lose to them on a neutral court, on your home court, that screws you over. So you can complain all you want, Brad Brunell. But the reality of this is the teams in the ACC weren't good enough to execute this strategy. They either weren't smart enough to try it, or the ones that did weren't good enough at the time to execute it. So like you said, Abby, don't hate the player, hate the game. But I don't understand what do you want them to do? Like, there's going to be an advantage in any sort of thing that exists here. And this is not new. This was in 2018. Abby Schnabel was showing up to her sophomore classes when this thing was invented. Now she's a full grown adult with a couch in the background of her house and everything. So yeah, it's something that, sure. Is it flawed? Yes. But this is what exists. This is what has existed. And don't be mad that one league is on the same page and has a strategy and carries it out, and that the league you're in has teams that aren't capable of carrying this out one way or another. That should be, and after last year with the ACC, with all the qualms it had with, you know, Clemson not getting in, and, you know, the lack of value with Pitt being on the bubble despite having 23 wins or whatever, that should have been the discussion when they were going about this scheduling. And I think if you look at the schedules for some of these teams, they tried to do this. They tried, but some of them didn't execute. So cry about the tough losses. Don't cry about the poor, or, you know, about the other teams, because say what you want about the TCUs, the Iowa States, they saw this advantage and they did it. That's what you got to do. So that's what I'd like to talk about in the highlight. We'll get out of here real quick. Beforehand, we got to do predictions. Pitt has three remaining regular season games, Abby. this weekend at Boston College, two home games next week against Florida State and NC State. Prediction, Abby, how many wins do they finish with in this three-game stretch, or I guess overall?
I'm giving them two of the final three, just because I don't think this team has shown that they're consistent enough to win all three. I would have to look, but I think if there is a stretch of them winning three games in a row, they had a good five-game win stretch in the middle and at the end of January, beginning of February. But at the same time, like with where they're at right now, I just don't see them being able to pull out all three. I won't be surprised if they do. I'm just not confident that they will.
Yeah, I think two is probably the safest bet. I think they will win on the road this weekend. I think senior night's probably a game that they're going to want to finish strong with, you know. But it's just that one in between where it could be, you know, maybe an overlook. I do think they should. They'll probably be favored in all three of these games. They should win all three of these games. And if they do, that's obviously a good testament to where they're standing heading into the ACC tournament. But yeah, it's not that they lost to Clemson and Wake Forest that makes me doubt that they can do this. It's the way they lost to Clemson and Wake Forest that makes me doubt they can do this. It's just not being able to execute in certain areas where you knew you're going to have to face challenges there. It's how you got to figure out a way to get Blake Hinson the basketball. You got to make shots. You got to handle easy opportunities close to the rim, things like that. Those things tell me that, you know, maybe they had their big stretch where, like you said, they won five in a row, 7 of 8, but they're coming back down to earth a little bit. And we saw that with last year's Pitt team as well, where it hit its stride and then it cooled down and then it hit a second stride in early March, but it needs to find that real quick if it wants to have any chance. Abby, any final thoughts as we wrap up another show?
I can't believe we're into the last week of regular season, really.
Right.
It's crazy. It's gone by fast.
It is indeed. We will have all of your coverage for March Madness, regional stuff, as some people are aware. Pittsburgh will be a regional host for the first rounds. We'll have you covered there. We'll have ACC all-conference tournament coverage as well, and we'll have everything else covered at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. You can read our work at post-gazette.com, and you can check out all of our digital coverage, our podcasting and video analysis here on the Post-Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel and podcast network. She's Abby Schnabel. I'm Noah Hiles. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.